the Lord among the light bearers. And of, or to, these also Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord has come with his many thousands of saints. Jude, verse 14. The practical Epicureanism and the practical deism, which we mentioned in the past few days, have been around in the world for many ages. Already in the days of the first time period of the world, prophecy had to struggle with it. In particular, the letter of Jude and the second letter of Peter point to that. For in the critical days which preceded the flood, it was already this way. There was much sensuality that defied every law, and there was also an insolent rejection of authority, which found its root in the practical denial of the efficacy and concreteness of maintaining God's law in our human life. Jude turned himself in his letter to his contemporaries, who, the one in this way and the other in that, revealed themselves as practical Epicureans and deists. And thus we are struck by the fact that Jude, over against this double denial of God as lawgiver, does not present himself as a preacher of new ethics or new doctrines for life, but he refers back to the dark beginnings of the world from before the flood. Already then, he said, did the Lord allow his word to go out to the same people, who now in our own days give themselves up to immorality and reject authority. He did that by Enoch, the prophet. This Enoch is mentioned here as the seventh from Adam. Already this early did the conflicts between prophecy and life's decay reveal themselves. And this Enoch has even more meaning, since he is the seventh from Adam in the holy line of human generations. There is also another seventh of Adam, and he stands in the unholy line of human generations. That is what is called the seed of the serpent, Lamech. With him one can find in that first period of time a saturated satisfaction, practical Epicureanism, in its most blatant form. His will presented itself as the law. He brought polygamy into the world and made his family a cultural workforce that did not ask for the law and standard of God, but was a law to itself. Thus the one seventh of Adam was placed over against the other. While Lamech insolently bragged about himself in his saturation of bread and mocked God's judgment that bound and restricted Cain, professing that he did not want to have anything to do with God as upholder of the law, and wrote his own law, which he himself pledged to maintain, Enoch came to resist Lamech and his Lamechites, and all the seed of the serpent of this first period of time. Do you think that the autonomy, the idea of people's freedom to make themselves into lawgivers, will free you from the bonds of life? Enoch asked. You are mistaken. For judgment, vengeance, and punishment will come. Then the bonds will be established forever. You think that Yahweh no longer does any good or evil, that he will not curb Cain and yourself as the one who maintains his own divine authority. Do you really think that the reward and sentence will stay away? Do you think that God will, at the most, maintain a defensive position, and that you can open your offensive attacks unhindered against him and the bearers of the law? You are mistaken, for the Lord is coming. He is coming into action. Even though he was silent for a long time, even to the seventh generation, he is arranging his offensive strategy in the way he already threatened in the law. And that strategy he will perform. He comes to search the city of Cain with a light to reveal all the hidden criminals and prove his authority over them. And he will come surrounded by his myriads of saints, his 10,000s of angels. They are the bearers of his lights of vengeance. They will maintain his judgment and cause the bright light of the law to break through the smoke screens that you, Lamech, laid upon the world. That is a message from the time which preceded the judgment about the first world, before the flood. It returned at the center of time, when Jude and the letter of Peter sounded the echo of Enoch's prophecy. And again, the voice of Enoch will sound to the end of days, when the Antichrist makes his way. It is especially moving because Jude did not say that Enoch did prophesy concerning these people, namely his own contemporaries. Neither did he say that Enoch prophesied to people who looked like the contemporaries of Jude. No, according to Jude, Enoch prophesied to them. That is to say, that he spoke already directly to Jude and his contemporaries. This is a bold expression which only makes sense within the great framework of this biblical thought that the seed of the woman is a unity, but the seed of the serpent is a unity as well. Thus we also are not allowed to consider Enoch as a character that belonged to a certain time. For more than the prophet is the prophecy. Just as the gospel has its history, prophecy of judgment does too. There is a history of the joyful message. There is also a history of the evil message. And all of these are a great unity, always, since God is one. That God wages an offensive battle is a truth that by the eye of faith can be read every day in the clouds. We do not prove its truth, just as we cannot prove anything of our faith. But we believe it because judgment is the reverse of the gospel. And only he who has understood this voice of Enoch will have understood the secret of this life that walked with God. To walk with God, that will open the eyes of the offensive strategy of the thoughts and acts of God against all sin of each cultural period of time. And it brought the prophet who stood with both feet in his own time so close to God's constitutional ordinations of all time, that a man from the time before the flood, before Abraham and before Moses, could divinely address the children of the Roman times of the Caesars. This is the legitimation letter of the Christian faith and also of Christian ethics. It brings no new law, but simply maintains the law of the beginning. The vocatives of the Reformation are very simple. O man, O man. For the word of the Lord is no variable cultural product, but a continual cultural criticism, speaking from the mouth of a prophet in the critical days of the consummation, the days of the seventh day and of crisis in the history and in the presupposition of its ongoing unity.